fishing all the time. Baby going fishing too.
And you.
All right, Leaf is here. How you feeling, Leaf?
I'm feeling pretty darn good. I don't care what they say.
You're looking good.
Yeah, I know you too.
I know you. I know you're gonna chalk that up to your yoga regimen.
Yeah. Thanks to Karin and Eric and all those folks down there at Agni. Man, got to give them a shout out, especially during this winter. Get down there.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm starting to feel the weather kind of
push. Keep your blood pumping.
Tries to push you indoors.
Yeah.
But I know you went on a little fishing trip, which I was not able to make.
That was fun.
I'm going to hold the picture up to the microphone. You won't believe these pics. Oh, man.
Yeah, had a great time, fishing some local secret stash here with our friend,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Donahue from down there at Blue Star Coffee Roasters, best coffee in America.
Yep.
Between the three of us, I think it'd just be a great fishing time, and we're going to make it happen.
We will.
Yeah, we had a good time. Got into some fish. I think the last one was right around 6 or 8 pounds that he got into, and it took this running backflip front. A gainer when you backflip while going forward.
Yeah, right.
It looked amazing, and then broke the hook. We thought it spit him out, but as he tried to give me the fly back there at the end, had no point. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Where do you find all these fish?
I just do my research.
Yeah.
I look far and abroad. I ran into that place about 15 years ago when I got back from fisheries school and had moved back into the area and was, had been pleasantly surprised by Bonner Lake, actually, with your son, uh-huh. Noah, and my other good buddy, Matt. I had kind of figured out there was some cool bass in there, went in there another time with Noah and Matt, and caught some huge bass with them. And so I just started looking at all these lakes in the area that were about the same size that were either forgotten about on public land or in this case is a private lake. And so I was lucky enough to get some access into there. So yeah, just a lot of fun.
Well, nobody deserves it more than you. So
hey,
way to go.
Well, what can I say? But yeah, before that, it's been a while and we hadn't caught up in the last week because I've been so busy trying to get all my wood in and get the garden tucked away, get the garlic in the ground, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But Fenner and I, my young boy, we went over and did that Skagit trip that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was super cool. We stayed at that place, Farrell Farms.
Uh-huh.
Man, it was really cool. It's totally hipped out, really hippy trippy. But, that's how I grew up.
I was totally used to that. Your background.
It looked like your place or something, like the pottery barn or whatever. This guy, in such a great way. This guy there, Matt, he is just like, I don't know if he's an artist or if he's an architect, because these things are half art installment, half tiny house.
Oh,
but they're so tight, so comfortable, but so cool looking. The one we stayed in was Cobb, mortar and wood round. Dad saw it and was like, oh, wood round house, blah, 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 because he's a carpenter. But I'd never really seen this kind of stuff. And so super neat. The furniture was kind of built into the back wall. There was a small kitchen, a little stove in there, and you're basically kind of sitting in there with that stove, so you got pretty warm pretty quick when you fired it up. Uh-huh. But it was so cozy, so nice. Finn and I stayed in one, and my buddy Joshua came over, and he stayed in another one that was super cool. It had its little kitchen outside on an outside wall. All of them kind of just have a different look, and he's working on one right now that looks like a true masterpiece, man. It's got this big round window. It looks like something out of a Dr. Seuss or something,
Far out. So how was the fishing?
It was good. We were right there. There's a walking trail to the Sauk from that place, so we were that close to the Sauk. We checked that out a little bit, got into some bull trout over there, and then we were very close to my favorite spot on the Skagit there at Rockport. So. Mm-hmm. That's where we got into Fenner's first real good fish there on that Friday when we first got there. We were able to, and I was hoping to, find some packs of pinks that were still in decent form and not in zombie mode. And we did. We found some good ones there. We could see fish still moving up on the outside of fish that were spawning. And so we were targeting those, and man, he got into some nice ones. He got into a huge buck the first day. I think the first one he finally landed, he got into a few that were too much for his little tiny pole, and then luckily my buddy Chris brought him over a proper salmon pole when he came up from the Bellingham area and joined us.
Wow.
On the second day. So yeah, we got into a lot of pinks, and we kind of just focused on that for Finn and Joshua the first day and most of Saturday, because neither of them had gotten a chance to catch those. And then we kind of shifted gears on Saturday afternoon, and the 5 hours we did fish on on Sunday to Coho. They're really, you know, just starting to push in pretty good. But, you know, when you're fishing that far up, they can be a little bit tight-lipped. I got on to two and lost them both on the Cascade on Sunday morning. My buddy Chris landed two up by the Bacon Creek area on the Skagit on the day before. And I think that was it. Finn and Joshua just got into pinks, which, you know, that was their goal. So that was great. But, yeah, they're just a tough fish. You know, they seem to want to bite for about 10 or 15 minutes. And the 10 minutes that I had my action there, it kind of coincided with a little bit of gear trouble for Fenner. So I spent a little bit of time trying to help him out. But it was so cool there at the Cascade. We somehow managed to capitalize on the lowest hole down. And you could literally watch them coming up out of the Cascade in packs of five and six. And, you know, Joshua and I are signing back and forth in excitement. You know, there's more coming. Get it. You get that one. I'll get this one. And Fenner's just up there lobbing stuff at them, too. And they were just being tough. You know, I got two to bite. I think Josh got one to bite. And and then we kind of moved on from there. So but you, just so a lot
you,
of fun.
So what do you think the deal is with not being that hungry?
You know, just the further upriver they get, the more
How far up are they heading, do you think?
Those ones are part, you know, in particular there, the Cascade ones, most of them came from the hatchery. So they're just going to stall out somewhere in that. It's what, maybe a mile up from the Skagit into up the Cascade to the hatchery. But we were also shown by some of the local anglers there, holy cow, they're just packs of like, you know, like I say, 5 or 10 coming into the lower river. And just above the bridge where you can't target them, there's like 500 or 600. And I'm like,
good.
They're like, you see how it's black right there on the bottom? And he throws a rock and the whole bottom just went, woof, man, it was just all fish. I'm like, oh, man. Anyway, so they seem to know where safe is.
Makes me feel good that there is places where there's lots of fish still.
They're trying to allow them to, I think those fish too, to spawn into the upper Cascade. Mm-hmm. I know that they really want, you know, I don't know. They've been shaping their hatchery program differently. Less steelhead, I think more kings. I don't know what their goals are there. Hmm. But it's always a fun river, but it can be very, very crowded. So keep in mind that there is a catch and release steelhead fishery just above that bridge there on the Cascade. Most guys that are there just lobbing eggs, wanting to take their fish home. So you can get some peace and quiet, go up above, and there's nobody there. Bear in mind, single barbless hook in all those catch and release zones. And we fished a lot above the bridge and above Marble Mount there in the Bacon Creek area, because there again, you couldn't keep the fish, but, you know, just a lot less people. And they were bitier up there. We just, it was a weird cast for Finley up there, but Chris sure enough had no problem getting into them.
Cool.
So I will be probably trying to make it back over there, because the chum are coming up here, you know, kind of as we speak, but in good numbers in the next couple of weeks. You know, and they can be good if you get them down by the tidelands when they're chrome. But my main goal there again with these is just to get a good fight. And they are stronger and bigger on average than the coho, and definitely snappier. If you can get them when they're still, you know, fairly chrome, and even into that first part of that cool color change, it's like like a camouflage with a shot of purple through it. Really neat looking.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
and you know that classic, you know, dog teeth, like they say, maybe part of the name with the dog salmon. Keep your fingers out of there. Yeah. Let me tell you, they get huge. You could almost make a shark's tooth necklace with some of those that I would see at school. So yeah, I'll be doing that. Be fishing the lowland lakes here, kind of getting obviously a little too cold for those high mountain lakes. I wouldn't be guaranteeing anything like that. No. Boulder Creek's got another week open. If you want to get up there, try a little Tenkaraville. I've gotten some bad reports from Rufus, just bad water quality with these drought years, weeds growing in, and just sort of not great in some of those flats that we usually fish. So you probably won't be getting much in the way of reports from me there. Okay. Maybe make a trip over to OMAC. Sounds like Keith did okay there. So thinking about OMAC, thinking about the lowland lakes here, and you know, until it's too late, and you know, looking forward to whitefish opening December 1st. So, and then spending a bit of time on those chum and coho until then.
Sounds like there's some good stories coming up.
Always something to do.
Always something.
And if you want to know what that is, or if you want to book a trip, you can always give me a call. But first, we'd like to thank our friends over there at the North 40 Fly Shop in OMAC, and our great friends over there at Drift Wader Co. in Bellingham, whose gear will keep me locked up up, feeling good, nice, warm, and dry all winter.
Yeah.
And yeah, so give me a call if you need a tip or want to book a fishing trip, 509-429-7298. You can send me an email at metoffishingadventures@gmail.com. You can check out the blog or podcast at flyfishersproshop.com. And hey, y'all, take care of one another. It's getting cold, so bundle right up. But make sure you get that fish right on, baby. Fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby going fishing too. Oh, somebody do